Today's daf in Yerushalmi, Masechet Shviit, I believe we had just gotten to the end of the perek, and that forced us sort of to stop before we got to like an Amud Beis. As we've sort of been stuck over here in having a partially daf from the daf before and a partial daf from the daf after, which was a little bit confusing. So what I'd like to do is finally get up to a point at where we can begin something new. So let's just review the last words of Samach Tes, Omud Aleph, which was at the end of the Omud. We got to that fascinating halacha that Eino Nemeiser Dovash Eino Shalai. And therefore, in the case of the Aphrodite bathhouse that everybody was turning into the church of Aphrodite, turns out that there was no Isser, said Rabbi Yochanan, in going and using that, because Ein Davar Shel Rabim Asur, which is another way of saying that Ein Adam Osur Davar Sheino Shelo. Hadron Alach Klal Gadol Bli Neder. So now we can move on to the next daf, which would be actually the Amud of the following daf. All right, so we had our Mishnah. Funked on the Halakha Mishnah, and this is just the last line of our Amud Aleph. So what we'd be doing was finishing the Amud Beis today, and that would give us the full Daf Samach Tet. So it's a little bit confusing. We'll try to get back into the actual order of events. Now, the problem is that there are many, many different issues raised by the opening Mishnah in this perek. The perek involves many things that it makes, leaves sort of open as to what it is that we're really troubled. We've got our Isser of Shamur. Remember that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who argues on almost all of the Rishonim, particularly the Rambam's approach, something that was Shamur is by definition Osir during Shviyas. That's how he understands the meaning of the Pasuk Bechalal. That you're not allowed to take it whatsoever. And don't take the things that you grew that were in your Shamur things. So it's Tzviach Kitzircha. If you treated it as your own Katzir, you can't have it. If you treat it as Nizirecha, you can't have it. That's one problem. That's the Isser of Shamur. Then we also have the Isser of Svichin, which is very complex. We've spoken about it at various occasions. We'll go over it again to make sure we understand all of the variants. And then we have another issue. The other issue is that we're careful not to give money to an Am HaAretz during Shviyas. Why? Because we're afraid that he won't recognize the din of needing to be shomer, the things that are not peras. There are other things that were not peras shviyas. He doesn't realize that if you bought something from him that was kadosh b'kedusha shviyas, he has to view that money as being kadosh b'kedusha shviyas, and therefore he can't do schora with it. And the crazy thing is that whatever he buys with it is going to be chayev in biur. And whatever he buys with it has to be treated with Kedusha Shviyas, and you can't waste it, and you can't use it from a lugma, et cetera, et cetera. We don't want to give him a situation where we're going to be over on Lifnei Yiver, and he doesn't know what to do with all of these complex halachas. So we had this din. Don't give over into the hands of Am HaAretz. Don't give over the something that would have Kedusha Shviyas. So what's the guy supposed to do? I mean, all he's got is the probably perfectly valid things that he's picked from Hefker, and he's trying to sell them to you in order to get something that he can eat. I mean, he's sort of sick and tired of eating these bits of mustard that grew up. So there he's allowed to remember, sell, and we are allowed to buy 3 seudais, because since we know that if we give him the money of 3 seudais, then that would be enough for Shabbos, and that's what he needs. So Mamela, up to 3 seudais you're allowed to give to an Am HaAretz. So then that means that there's really many different concerns that we might be talking about a chashash of biur, a chashash of svichin. Ah, wow, look at that. What are you showing us, Chardal?
Yep. Yes,
can you focus a little bit better? Okay, excellent. All right, so let's take a look at the various issues that the different, let's pretend that our Mishnah is just the Mishnah. We'll ignore right now the inyanim that the Gemara assumes as we go into the Gemara about to learn the Mishnah. And we'll just look at this Mishnah as a Mishnah in the Mishnayos and see what the possible issues are. And the truth is that there are many different approaches to our Gemara as well, even though we'll choose the most Pashna ones. So, we certainly know that there's an Isser Schaira, and that's one of the dinim of La'ochla, below the Schaira, but it's not called the Schaira for a person to sell a little bit of what he had extra, or he's able to exchange for something else. That's not called Schaira. Schaira is called actually making a business out of it. Okay. Now, the din is as well that if you do behetagomer, you do exchange pairs of shviyas for money, now the money becomes kodesh. That means you can't use that money to pay for your haircut and so on and so forth, to buy avadim, all of the things that we spoke about. Only la'ochla. Now, that was the reason that we made the gezeira, that don't give money into the hands of an Am HaAretz by buying from them something where then the money would become kodesh b'kedusha shviyas, because we have to be choshesh that they don't know what the din is, and we can't give them anything that is going to be kodesh b'kedusha shviyas. But the halacha is, what about if this Am HaAretz is selling something that we know is not a problem of being Isser itself, so it's not something that was post the time of Biur, it's not something that was Shamur, because if it's Shamur, even if Shamur is mutter for you to eat, not like the Rabbeinu Tam, nonetheless, we would not buy it from an Am HaAretz and have him be over on the Isser of being Shomer the Peres, absolutely not. So one thing that we'd have to determine is that when an Am HaAretz is selling something, it's got to be something that was not Shamur. How can we know that? Well, we know that it's the type of species that people don't grow. They grow wild, as we can watch Bradea walking through the wild chardal. It grows wild, and therefore, we don't have to be choshish about that. So therefore, we can buy it. But then we have another issue. Besides the chashash of being machshelim in Shamur, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, of us being nichshal in the Shamur, we also have the problem of being machshelim and keeping money of shviyas that he doesn't realize he has to keep a kedusha shviyas in terms of biur and iser schaira. And because of that, we have another iser. And that is only by a maximum of shalosh seudais, because that he's going to be using up. So the Mishnah wants to give us a list of various kind of things that we don't have to worry about there being Shamur. People do not grow these things. Now, I do not know what these things are. I mean, I can tell you the way that they're translated, and I can tell you their Latin names, according to Professor Felix, and I'm not going to, because I feel like a machine that's quoting words has no idea, and I'm very frustrated about it, but I'll just use the names that are in the Mishnah. So, if you have Fagam, you have Yarbuzin HaShotim. Now, these, both of these we're talking about, the Pagam and the Yarbuzin, that grow wild. So they're definitely not the type of cultivated plant. Again, these are things that might be, you know, very familiar to people who buy them in the makolat. Some say it's asparagus, but whatever. And again, I'm not even going to get into what these things are. We've been through the chalak lugot a million times. I've told you that the chalak lugot end up being purslain the way that they're defined. I can tell you even what that looks like, but I can't tell you that I've ever bought it in a store. I think they call it rigila, something in the store nowadays. Kuzbar shebaharim, again, normally called coriander. This is wild coriander because it grows up in the mountains. And then you've got karpas, again, as you know, people call that celery. If it grows b'naharot, that's the type that grows at the edge of rivers. It's recognizable as a wild plant. And gargar shel afar, we've got this plant called the gargar, and it grows in an open area, which is not cultivated. So first of all, because of the fact that these are hefker things, of course, they're potter from meiser, because hefker is potter from meiser. You remember the basis of that. Uba levi ke'en lo chelek v'nachala imach, only things that ain lo chelek v'nachala. But in hefker, it's just as much his as it is yours, and therefore, there's no meiser. But what's important here in our mesechet is that there are nilkachin, even from an amaretz, mikol adam, you can buy it because you don't have to worry about its being shamur. She'en kayotze behem nishmar, and it's not the derech to cultivate them, and therefore they're considered to be hefker, and you can buy them even from people who don't know how to be careful about dinei shvias. Of course, we have to be careful about how much of it you give. You can't give more than what would buy him shalosh shaludais. That's fine. So in this case, if the Bama Arts was selling something that I'd have to be chayshed was Meshumar, you couldn't even buy a penny's worth, because that would mean that we're being machshel him. But where we know that it's hefker, and therefore it's potter from Meiser as well, there's no problem, and he's allowed to buy, but only to this little bit, to the three, enough for the three seudais. And this is only, by the way, if he's not choshed as doing business. There's another halacha as well. It's important to remember all of these pratim. Someone who is choshed on doing schora, not that he had a little bit of stuff, but this guy's got an actual fruit stand. I mean, I should say a vegetable stand. And he's selling. In that case, we don't buy from him at all. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, things that grow up on their own, we call them svichim. We're going to see the various elements of svichim. But right now we're talking about svichim in terms of hefker. So something grows from seeds that fell on the thing, on the field, on their own. And they had fallen there even before shvias. Rabbi Yehuda says there is never a problem of buying mustard. So svichi chardal lo nechshedu aleihem ovri avera. Since the whole idea is that the gezeira of svichin, perhaps, we'll see there's another way of explaining the Mishnah, but that the gezeira of svichin is something that the Chachamim made because they were afraid that people would plant things and claim that it grew up all on its own, and therefore we answered you're buying it. Nobody would plant chardal and then tell you it grew on its own, because lo nechshedu aleihem ovri avera. People don't go and bring chardal from cultivated chardal. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yudashit. Rabbi Shimon says, there's never a problem of buying svichim. Why? Because they are always hefker. And this is because, according to him, they don't look the same as cultivated things. And you can be absolutely sure that these things were not cultivated. And the only thing that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference is, chutz misvichei kruv. Kruv are different than everything else. And they're in kayotzein beyarkot sadeh, and they are definitely something you'd have to worry about because they're indeterminate in terms of being sfiach or cultivated. And that you can never buy from Amaretz, because maybe it's actually shamur, cultivated, not menafker, and you wouldn't be able to know the difference. Now, remember that we've got a tremendous machlokas about whether the din of svichim is entirely a derabbanan, or whether the din of svichim is like Rabbi Akiva, that it's d'oraisa. Even if it's like Rabbi Akiva, it's not an iser lav, and there would be no malchus, as the Rambam explains. There would be no malchus because of the fact that it all boils down to the way that the pasuk phrases it as an aseh. We'll talk about this tomorrow. We'll get into the dinim of svichim. So there's two different ways of understanding the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is going according to Rabbanan, that the whole thing is a suffix, and it's only a derabbanan. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chachamim didn't make the gezerah of Svichim on things that are not normally cultivated, because the only reason that we make the gezerah is because people will claim that it was Svichim, and in reality, they had planted it. But nobody plants the chardal, and therefore, they didn't make the iser on the chardal at all. Rabbi Shimon holds, they weren't gozer bichlal on Svichim, because everybody can see this isn't the type of thing that is cultivated. It's so weak and so on. So they would immediately see that it's not a normal type of growth. And you can tell that. Sviche kruv, on the other hand, you cannot tell. They become very thick, very well developed all on their own. And therefore they were gozer only on Sviche kruv. Whereas the Chachamim say, all Svichim are Isuri. Even the normal veggies, everything is us. Now, what are we talking about? That's not so clear. Are we talking about Svichim that grew in the sixth year? Now, we've got all of the cases that we had before, gentlemen, of vegetables that you're allowed to buy, and they were cultivated. And we were talking about vegetables in the shishis that had grown in the shishis, and now you're buying them in Shvias, and we assumed all along that this is okay. According to the Shitas who holds that even Svichim that were growing in the sixth year and were picked in Shvias are also called Svichim. And again, tomorrow we'll talk about these specific dinim. The question is, what does that mean? You can never buy vegetables at all? And even if they were vegetables that were growing in the sixth year? So this is the famous question about the big machlokas of poskim, about whether something that began growing in the sixth year is considered to be, the gabi vegetables is considered to be a sixth year complete fruit. Or I should say pre, I don't mean fruit. And the reason for this is because the truth is that the gezerah of Svichim should not be affecting things that were planted and grown in the sixth year because nobody did anything wrong. It turns out that that din anyway is an extension of the din of Svichim, of things that grew during Shemitah. And so now, the way the Chazon Ish paskens is very big kula, because of Shemitah Bizman Hazeh Dirabbanan, and there's even a famous, beautiful picture that is all over the place, a famous picture of the Chazon Ish in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, and, or was it in, it might have been in, Barnea, you hear, what's the name of the other kibbutz that, we went to the Beit Matzah? I think Barnea's not even here. It'll come to me. Anyway, he's standing out there in the field with people all around him looking at the dirt of the field. Because the amazing kula of the Chazon Ish is that any growth at all, forget about needing shlish, and forget about needing anything that is going to be komimiyut. Thank you, Moshe. So forget about needing anything. If any of the crop had already sprouted, mamish, just a tiny sprout, then it's not a problem. And we consider that to be a vegetable from the previous year. Since the Iker Dinim of Svichim is said from the din Sviach Kitzircha, so that's real green, or in Venizirecha, those are real things, not veggies. Veggies were very mekala. And it's because of that that we have all of these incredible kulais, is because of that Chazon Ish. Okay, so if we're talking about Svicha Shishis, so then we're talking about these things that we don't have to worry of any type, what we're saying over here, according to Rabbi Shimon. All Svichim are mutter, they're just considered to be chulin, and even though they were finished during Shvias, except for Svichei Kruv, we're over there, we're knowing Kiddush Shvias on Svichei Kruv, because we cannot know the difference of whether you went out and brought newly grown Kruv, or whether it was actually from the Shishis. It grows so strongly and so thickly that it's us. And the Chachamim Aser, even everything, even though we can tell the difference, Mishum Svichei Kruv. It's actually because of the Svichei Kruv that we answer it. So that would be the basic point of our Mishnah. we'll get into the details. It's already late. So, okay, this is going to take a bit of time, this stuff, because it involves a lot of different shitas and is very fundamental to the understanding of the entire sugya of Svichim and how the Gezer of Svichim came about in time. Okay, Rabosai, it was a good beginning. Sorry, I wasn't able to really finish the whole thing. I mean, I could just do the next piece of Gemara, but which would take us 2 minutes, but I'd rather just do it all together. So we'll start the next daf, and which is daf ayin. We'll start it from the Gemara on Samach Tes Amud Beis, and then we'll have Bezrat Hashem a complete daf. Okay, everyone, thank you so much. It's wonderful being with you and talking about Kedushas HaOretz and the Shvias, the upcoming Shvias, which will already be a Shvias D'Oraisa. So a lot of the stuff that we're talking about will just be of sort of academic interest to know how the Gezeras progressed. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll have a chance to go over the sugya in terms of the D'Oraisas. Okay, meanwhile, wishing you a wonderful day. B'surot Tovot. Always be careful never to look at the news. It only can make you sick. And to keep up your emunah and bitachon and Yeshua's Hashem, Kerev Ayin, Kol Tuv then.